91.3 WLRN and HD1, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and the Palm Beaches. 91.5 WKWM and HD1, Marathon, Key West. And live on the internet at WLRN.org.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Night Train on this special holiday edition of the Night Train. Ted Grossman with you on the 20, what is it, the 5th? The 26th? The 27th? 25th. The 25th. And I'm not even drinking yet. The 25th of May, Memorial Day weekend. And whenever we get a chance to have a holiday weekend, we ask Ed Bell to join us and to do one of our now famous holiday shows about jazz and music and the history of South Florida and Florida in particular, and introducing my co-host Ed Bell. You know, I tried to do this during South. You do all listen to South Florida Arts Beat, don't you? Of course you do. Sure. And you know, you're not on yet. See, it's not sure. Your turn. You're not on. It makes no difference. Your mic's not on. And a couple of weeks ago, I tried to, before we went on, to tell this to the audience, and I got pushed aside by the audience and by Ed. I felt terrible that Ed Bell this year is the honoree at the 17th Annual Cuisine for the Art fundraiser, May 29th here in South Florida at the Hard Rocks Grand Ballroom. And that's where famous politicians and musicians and people who are famous are the wait staff, and people who pay for this dinner and drinking are served, then they have a grand time, and Ed is the honoree.
Well, how nice.
You're still not on, see?
How nice.
Just throw it on.
How nice.
Say again.
How nice.
There you go.
Oh, don't kill that beautiful Jimmy Forrest theme, man. And we all love that.
And so we do congratulate you, Ed. And I wanted to tell
well,
your
thank
audience.
Thank you very much.
And you pushed me to the side. Yeah, I know you're not going to.
I did not.
I know you're not going to do it yourself. And that's, yeah, so I raised my hand to talk. He says, oh, I know. And he plugs my show. Now I felt like an ant 2 feet high.
No, stop that. You deserve it, too, but that's a wonderful honor, and after 43 years on the airwaves here in South Florida, you know, I'm really honored that some people would say, hey, we appreciate your efforts over the years, because it's all about promoting our great area, and our two guests with us today are going to help us do that, and what a super history we've had here. And it's really not fully documented. There's no one book you can go to, but today, secrets might be revealed
I want
tonight.
You to introduce our first guest.
May we? This wonderful guy, Professor Seth Bramson, is America's single most published Florida history book author, with 16 of his 22 books dealing directly with the villages, towns, cities, counties, people, and businesses of the South Florida Gold Coast. He is the company historian of the Florida East Coast Railway, the only person in the country who bears that title with an American railroad, and his book Speedway to Sunshine is the official history of that famous line. His collection of FEC Railway and Florida transportation memorabilia is the largest in the world.
And it's only a four-hour show.
It is larger than the State Museum's collection. Seth, that's amazing. And larger than the Flagler Museum's collection. A graduate of Cornell University, we're going to find out more. He also holds master's degrees from St. Thomas and Florida International University, both here in South Florida, of course. Adjunct professor of history and historical historian in residence at Barry University, adjunct professor of history at FIU, on and on and on. Osher, lifelong learning, a Greater Miami resident since 1946. He knows whereof he speaks. He's the founder of the Miami Memorabilia Collectors Club, and his collection of Miami memorabilia and Floridiana is the largest, I'm gasping, in private hands.
Does this sound like an
obituary? In the country. Seth and Myrna have been married for 37 years. Congratulations, sir.
Your time's up. Sorry, Seth. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Ted. Great seeing you. Nice to be here.
Thanks for being here, Seth. And now, in introducing Charlie Cinnamon.
Your turn, sir.
Thank you. You know, I waited a long time. I told Charlie. I think it was about 30 years, I guess, Charlie to come on the show. Ed Bell says you'll never get Charles on.
He's a busy guy.
Not going to come on your show.
Busy guy.
And when I think of what Charlie does, you know, growing up here, interested in the history, you came by in your later years, you're interested. Mm-hmm. Seth grew up here. We got to learn the history of the era. We knew, and I asked Seth to get me the official name, and I remembered Steve Hannigan was the first great publicity man in Miami Beach. And Miami, he had an idea of taking pictures of girls in bathing suits on the shore.
And I looked at them as a young kid in elementary school and said, and I want to go there.
No, but the early ones, and on the seawall, one-piece bathing suits. And as an aside, one of those girls who he took on a brochure at 15, later on, was my principal in elementary school. And
now you got something on her.
She's gone. She was wonderful. She was very famous, very educated. And then later on, we all heard of Hank Myers.
Yeah.
Hank Meyer.
Well, I Myers him because what he controversial at the end. But Hank Meyer, another one who publicized. Everybody knew the name if you followed this type of thing in show business. And then there's Julian Cole. You know, his daughter now is very famous. And Julian Cole did a lot of publicity and things, including taking the account from the UM and saying, we're just going to put the U on it.
Oh.
With a UN outcry from most people and fans, they thought they didn't like it. Hmm. And thank goodness the university stuck by it. And with the orange and green emblem, and originally they put the silhouette of that sport, a football player or a tennis player, in between the U.
Okay.
Everybody knows it now.
And what about Charlie?
And then after that, it's Charlie Cinnamon, a name that I know since I'm here, doing the show and following it, you know. And what he forgot, a lot of us don't know, but the names and the act and everything. And for years, and Charlie's been so nice to me. And first time I met him, here in the parking lot. I never met Charlie in person.
There's a story.
Never met him. But he calls me up, he writes email, he calls me legendary. There's anybody legendary at the table today? It's Charlie Cinnamon.
Both of these guys are very gracious.
Very legendary.
When I first got on the air down here in 71, all I heard was, call Charlie Cinnamon, call Charlie Cinnamon. Somebody's coming in to play Miami Beach, call Charlie Cinnamon. And you were here a little bit earlier than that, sir, so you've seen some incredible history go down on Miami Beach in South Florida, and you still continue. You're working the Broadway in Miami series and on and on. And it's amazing.
What do I say after all?
Whatever you say, say it in the microphone, please, Charlie.
I don't know how you got me here, I swear to God. But anyway, I'm happy to be here. And it's a hell of a...
It's the truth.
I mean, we've had a half hour of just kicking it around.
That's what we do. That's exactly what we do. But we opened the music room door for our listeners to come in and listen.
Oh.
But when I say legend, if you read, you know, they used to have the society pages in the papers. Now, it's in the tropical section of the Herald, but they show all the banquets and the awards and things. Mm-hmm. Every season, once or twice or three times, you'll see Charlie in those pictures.
Oh, of course.
Well, I got a lot of glamour going.
It's the hairstyle, Charlie. Right. The hairstyle. So I particularly brought things in that would affect when you're here. Maybe you publicize them. Seth is going to tell us about when we mentioned the venues. It's not important. Charlie says, what am I going to do when I come on? I don't know the music. You don't have to comment on everything we play. It's still a music-driven show. But we particularly bring in stuff that will involve
you. I probably
you.
Dance to a lot of it.
Well, good, good. But now, if they set their dial directly on 91.3, get it straight, you can see Charlie dance. Other than that. But what I'm going to do to start the show, as I always do in May, because May, I think this is the only second time in all the years I'm on I've had a guest in May. Because May, I honor radio. Mm-hmm. I only do radio features, different radio broadcasts, and I open up every show with the openings from the golden age of radio. So we're still going to do that tonight before we get into our show.
A fiery horse for the speed of light, a cloud of dust and a hearty hi-yo, Silver, the Lone Ranger.
When the western United States were first opened to settlers, the promise of easy wealth brought both honest men and criminals to the new territory. Both found that wealth could only be purchased by hard work, and the criminals returned to their old habits. The masked rider of the plains fought them tirelessly, however. Astride his great horse, Silver, he rode through the length and breadth of seven states in the cause of justice. And in time, he brought law and order to the lawless frontier. Return with us now to those thrilling days when the West was young and adventure lay at the end of every trail. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver! Outlaw to near Carter City! Tonto's waiting in the trail ahead! Hi-yo, Silver! Away!
Captain Midnight, brought to you every day, Monday through Friday, by the makers of Ovaltine, America's favorite food drink. Now, have you heard the news? The news about that marvelous new two-piece, bright-colored shake-up mug Captain Midnight has for you? That big, handsome, two-in-one shaker-upper you use to make ice-cold, chocolatey shake-ups to drink every day?
Everywhere. Yes, fellas and gals, wherever you might be tonight, the National Barn Dance invites you to join in with your friends and neighbors back home who dropped into the old hayloft for the evening festival.
Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet.
The shadow knows Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter. shivers up our spine, Uncle Don. I wish that you were on Jack Armstrong, Mert and Marge, Amos and Andy. I long to turn the dial again, to hear the bastards on again radio. I miss you so, do 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 on radio. I miss you so.
Okay, there you go. All right.
She's great. And you say she's a local gal.
Well, she originally from Hallandale or Broward County. Banu Gibson. Mm. She sings a lot of traditional jazz, has traditional band of her own, sextets, septets. She's been here a few times, but she mainly stays in New Orleans and then goes to all the different traditional jazz festivals. And she's really terrific. And we have a lot of people, Charlie, out of this area that don't even perform here.
Yeah.
No, I've never seen her.
No. She performed here last. One of our listeners brought her in. Jim Pollock brought her in when we had the afternoon sessions at the Gusman downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Remember those series?
Yeah.
Woody Herman did one thing. He brought her in, and she performed here. I don't remember the last after that. One time up in at the Parker, I think, and that was it.
So I understand you have a zillion questions for these gentlemen.
All right, well, music-wise, we're going to go through.
Yeah.
Shall we start?
Let's start.
We'll start with this, and then Charlie. Charlie happened to mention things about this as we were talking off the air, and that's not fair to the listeners.
It's
so
not
let's
fair to the
listeners. Let's start. Well, before I do that, let me say we heard, I forgot to mention the old-time radio shows. Everybody knows, they hear the William Tell Overture. They think, you know, it's the Lone Ranger. And then we heard Captain Midnight, which later segued to TV. Captain Midnight. And the National Barn Dance, which, believe it or not, came out of Chicago, I think, or Detroit, for really the farm area there, and really country music. Many years it was on. And that's how people got to hear their music out that way. And then, of course, Gunsmoke with William Conrad as Marshall Dillon, who could not fit the role for TV visually. So James Arness came in at 6'6", you know. The Miami Beach Rumba, recorded sometime in the late 50s. That's Carmen Cavallero. Tell us about Irving Fields.
No, I think it was Irving Fields who wrote it.
Yes.
Yeah. Did he not? Right. And yeah. Pepe Fields with his sister had her own radio show, if you remember.
Right.
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 And Irving is still playing in New York. He's like 96 now.
96. I think once a week he's at a lounge, isn't he?
He's in a lounge playing
piano. Uh-huh.
Charlie, yeah. I find so many versions of that, three or four different groups. It must have been very popular. You guys remember?
It was a big hit.
Sure. Big hit?
I came from the hotel world. Mm-hmm. My first job was at the Empress Hotel, which, I don't know, has become several other hotels since then.
What is it, 43rd and Collins, yeah, I think.
43rd and Collins, right. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing of those years was dancing the rumba.
Yeah.
And the cha-cha-cha.
And the cha-cha.
Sure.
And
this is what most of our parents thought that was Latin music. Mm-hmm. Today we get the real Latin music. But they thought that Cugada and Mundo Ross was Latin music. And meanwhile, in Cuba, they're still playing, you know, that hot stuff, even back in the 30s and the 40s. And this is what, you know, when he came in the movies, he always had a chihuahua in his hand.
Right.
And he was always wore white formal. And really, if you ever see his movies, and he's got the baton, actually the violin, because he played violin, so he would use that as the baton. And we thought that was what Latin music was.
Well, speaking about Cuba, guys, validate this if it's true. I've always heard the rumor that Desi Arnaz was discovered in Espanola Way on Miami Beach.
The Ronin,
fact,
wasn't it?
Fiction?
No,
he went to school. He went to St. Patrick's.
No, right. He graduated from St. Pat's here on Miami Beach.
Desi Arnaz.
Yes. Now, the interesting thing is, one of the great, in fact, he was the last maitre d' in the state of Florida. You know, you got all these punk kids running around and maitre d'. See the maitre d'? They're not maitre d's. They wouldn't know what a maitre d' was if one jumped up and bit them. They're
how do you
hosts.
Really feel about it?
Well, that's how I feel about
I love it.
They don't
this
know what a maitre d' is.
No, everything's
and Desi Arnaz's roommate was the last maitre d' in this town, and his name was Mario Talucci.
Oh, God.
And Marin, and you know Mario?
You know Mario.
From
and
the Embers.
Mario from,
the,
from
Embers.
The Embers. And then he went and he opened the Newport Pub, and then he went over the Roney Pub.
Right.
And Mario had an opportunity. He looked like Cornell Wilde. Mm-hmm. And he was offered an opportunity to go to Hollywood. He turned it down. He didn't want to go. But he was the consummate maitre d' in mm-hmm. this town. He knew wines. He knew dining service. And he was Desi Arnaz's roommate.
Hmm. Oh,
and it, Mario laughs about it because Mario and I and his wife Gail and my wife Myrna are still very close. Mario's not feeling great these days, but he's okay. But let me just tell you, they did the hotbed routine. Mario worked nights. So Desi slept in the bed at night. Mario then would, and this was down at the Seagull on 21st and Collins. Uh-huh. And it was a just
they look
an
for
incredible
girls
story.
All the time, and he played bongos
yeah,
and
yeah, and
suave looking.
But Mario and Desi were very close friends.
Yeah. Wow!
But
wow!
You know, they sent him up from Cuba and because it was with political. I think the family was with one side and the other side. You know,
so he was here way before 63, obviously.
Oh,
way before because
he was at the St. Patrick's High School.
That's when he and Lucy were on TV in
right.
the early
no,
60s,
no,
late
he,
50s.
Well, he had established himself already. As
right
a
now,
baby.
No, he yeah. went to St. Pat's mm. and. He was a real charmer. I mean, I didn't know him personally, but Mario and he were very close friends.
Hmm. All right, Ed, talk about your boy here, Cugat.
Oh, I can't say much about Xavier Cugat. I'm hoping these guys might
talk about men who had wives.
Oh.
And every one of Cugat's yeah. former wives, they raved about him. Great, loved him.
He was a great movie star, too.
You know?
Now, he was all over Miami Beach, I assume.
Well, Abbey Lane.
I can't remember if it's my Sunny Isles Beach history. No, it must be the Sunshine Stone Crabs and Cheesecake. There is a picture of Xavier with
Abby
and her parents, and they do not look too happy. But She's with him. Gorgeous, gorgeous girl.
Oh.
But there is a picture in the book of the four of them.
Abby Lane stayed over in Europe and became a big star. She spoke four or five languages, sexy, red hair.
Oh, yeah.
And the father had women's clothing stores. And when she became famous, he legally changed his name to Abby Lane. And they were all around right. the store, Abby Lane fashion stores.
Mm-hmm.
And but she was a beach girl, I think. Was she not?
I don't think so. You know, all that nonsense. You're, oh, Barbara Walters graduated. No, she didn't. She went to school at Beach High for her 10th grade year. Mm-hmm. When her father sold the Latin Quarter, they moved. Her closest friend was, who I go back with many, many years, Judy Nelson Drucker.
Oh,
and
yes.
Judy. And Barbara were very close friends. Judy's nephew, Johnny Nelson, Jonathan Nelson, is a teacher at Beach High. And his father was the judge in Bay Harbor.
I think they both wanted
mayor,
to be opera singers.
And
Ted Nelson, CPA.
Wonderful guy.
I'm very friendly with his daughter. His daughter is Cantor Rochelle Nelson.
Right.
Music's in the family.
And
the
his other daughter's in New York. And
she
she's
does
a great
advertising.
A great
and
writer.
Yeah.
Great music. Writer.
What do we have queued up?
That's your cool guy thing. You want to explain it?
Let her rip. Okay. Miami Beach Rumba, written by Irving Fields. And I have a notation. Gapice, G-A-P-I-S-E. Ted, might you know that?
G-A-P-I-S-E
and Irving Fields. A vocal by Aladdin and the Boyd Triplets. Yeah. Have
Aladdin
no idea.
Was his male. I normally don't play Cougat on my show.
Yes. Well,
but in deference.
We're having fun.
To Irving Fields, to Charlie Cinnamon, et al.
Xavier Cougat Orchestra.
I play this at the end when we wrap it up. Here
the
it
vocal
is.
Version.
Yuba and his tuba, they play the night right here.
I'll save a banner for mañana. Meanwhile, I've heaven in my reach. I found the charm of old Havana in the rumba at Miami Beach.
everything will be just fine. You can pass the word that our favorite son will run for president. Save your Confederate money, boys. Wave that Confederate money, boys. The South will rise again.
Gentlemen, they're the only ones I ever heard play this. Save your Confederate money, boys. The South will rise again.
Oh, no.
You know who the group was, Charlie? Did you do anything with Dixieland groups at all?
I don't recall.
Please talk to the mic, Charlie.
You're talking now about
yeah, we're
me.
On.
Was that Don?
All right, we're on.
No, that's...
Dixieland groups, no, I don't recall
them. Preacher Rollo.
That was Preacher Rollo.
Preacher Rollo.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Matter of fact, they'd put this on for me.
Ah, yes.
And I'll show you what that does here. I mean,
my friend's dad played bass with him, Al Matucci.
For the MGM. And they always did it. You know, we only had one television station, Channel 4,
yeah,
which
Channel
is TVJ,
yeah.
Which is now Channel 6.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'd see all these local groups come on.
Really?
You know? Oh, sure. They would have a lot of things.
So the footage is out there.
Mm. Well, I don't know if they kinescoped it. Remember, it was live. It was in studio.
Mm-hmm.
And you would see... and then I went to an Arthur Godfrey talent sketch show, and my folks took me. And he was one of the contestants, but he didn't win.
Oh, no.
So in this group, and they always sang, Save Your Confederate Money, Boys, the South will rise again. You know, they sang it tongue-in-cheek. Rollo Leyland is on drums. That's Preacher Rollo. Tony Parenti. That's a very famous name. On clarinet. Tommy Justice Cornet. Jerry Gorman on trombone, Al Matucci on bass.
That's my buddy's dad. He's unfortunately gone, but they lived over in Hialeah. And his son later went on to play tenor sax with the Wayne Cochran and the C.C. Riders.
Well, here's the famous...
Quite a musical family.
It's another famous name, speaking about musical family. Who's on the keyboards?
Oh, Red Hawley? No. Red was a drummer.
You met...
Maria
Marcus.
Oh, Marie Marcus.
Marcus. Billy Marcus is... Mother, Billy Marcus in the 80s was really hot down here, right?
Yes. In the 80s, he would have standing room only every Friday and Saturday night, which is unheard of for a jazz group.
Yeah, I remember that.
But his mom was a killer player.
She was from New
England. Stride player?
Yes.
So that's a wonderful recording.
But I'm bringing it up, but you were here when they played. If I was here, you were.
Yeah, no. I was around, as a matter of fact, when they had the... Are we on the air right now?
Yes, sir.
Yes, we're on the air, Charlie.
Okay.
It's not a dry run. There's no rehearsal.
No, I mean, it's all live.
Charlie, it's live.
Instead of whatever. Anyway, no. The thing I did have, one of my earliest clients, as a matter of fact, was Teddy Goldstein, who was really the jazz maven in the city.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He had a club at 21st Street. We were talking about Lums earlier. It was right.
What was the name of his club?
I forget the name of it.
What side of the street was it? East
21st
or west?
Street. He had two clubs right next door to each other.
One of them wasn't. Papa Boucher's was there before that, and it was on the south side of 23rd.
23rd.
Now, it's not 23rd. On Collins. I'm thinking of Collins.
No,
it's
Collins.
23rd. And
it was
the Night Owl. You're talking about the Night Owl? Was it the Night Owl?
Right.
There you go.
It was the Night Owl.
Ah.
And he had, and that's where had people like Sinatra would come in and sing.
Sinatra?
Yeah.
What's Sinatra? Who's Sinatra?
We'll get to that.
The same fellow who, when Mario came down here after the service, he was a waiter, and he was waiting at the place, and it just slipped my mind, the Italian place on Northeast 10th Avenue and 79th Street. It's now a fabric store.
Marie's? Mary's?
No. Northeast 79th Street and 10th Avenue. And the boys would come in there late at night, and Mario was the late-night waiter, and he became very cordial with Sinatra.
Ray Sinatra. You know who Ray Sinatra was? That's, you're talking about Ray Sinatra.
No.
Ray Sinatra was Frank's cousin. He was a band leader.
Have you got anything here by Morgana?
Morgana King.
I didn't bring any Morgana. I do have Morgana.
We can find something.
Because I remember she sang at Teddy Goldstein's place.
Love the Morgana. Night Owl,
and you had to cut off the conditioning. No air, no sound.
No, but let me.
Sweated like hell. But
wow.
She's wonderful. Let
me tell you what's going on there right now. The folks from the Vintnoy Group, it's called, have bought the hotel right next door, the old Park Avenue, are doing a magnificent job. Really? And I think they're going to take that property that used to be the Night Owl. I mean, what's going on 23rd Street from 21st to 23rd is just fabulous. And the Collins Park Association is really pushing it. It they're doing a great job. You know, I did an exhibit for them, historic, and the history is just so wonderful. And being here with Charlie is nothing less. I mean, it's always great to be with Ed and Ted, but let me tell you, being here with Charlie is like being with a legend.
It's a thrill for all of us.
Yes, very much so.
Ted Grossman with you on Night Train here on WLRN. Next week we're going to remember Bobby Hackett. We broadcast from 1938-39 from Nick's in the Hickory House in New York, and then even from different venues in 1975. That'll be our feature here at WLRN. Tonight it's one of our holiday shows. Ed Bell, our co-host, we bring him in whenever he can take off on a Monday. That's how we determine these, because he has such things about Florida, visual things, billboards, placards, cards,
records,
electric bills, everything. And we do this show about Florida. And so Ed's here, Seth Bramson, intro again, there goes the first hour.
14, 15 publications, 16?
22.
Where have I been?
But since Seth, with the three of us have been together on the air, we all agree it's a thrill to have Charlie Cinnamon.
Yeah, very much so.
Really a thrill.
Very kind of you guys.
We even gave him a warm bottle of water. I mean, we take care of our guests. And by the way,
it's great to be here, Ted. You know I'm a big fan of
you. Oh, it's great.
I mean, Sunday nights is where you
have to go. Great to have you. And you know, you say Teddy Goldstein. Teddy Goldstein was a famous name and a boxing referee in New York for years. Teddy Goldstein.
But he was a jazz man down here.
Down
here. He was the one that counted, yeah.
You want to set up now your thing, and we'll straighten this out.
Well, yeah, let's straighten it out. Let me see here. In 1959, I believe.
May 28th, 29th, and 30th, to be exact.
Yes, there was a DJ convention here on Miami Beach at the Americana. Now, our guest, Seth, was working there. You want to set this up, Seth?
Yeah, my dear friend, who I'm still very close with, Ricky Neros, who grew up in Surfside, Ricky and I got jobs as cleanup boys on the pool deck. And what the cleanup boy did on weekends, we would go in the morning, take the chaise lounge pads out, throw them onto the chaise lounges, and we'd hang around most of the day and ogle the girls because, you know, we were young kids.
Sure.
And then in the evening, starting about 4 o'clock, 4:30, you go around with the broom in the pan, you sweep up all the cigarette butts and clean up the deck, and then you put all the pads back.
Work the tips?
No. We were paid by the whoever we worked for, whichever the cabana boy was or the pool deck man. But that it was at that convention, seriously, when Ted brought it up, what a memory shot back, Charlie, because that was where I saw Julie London for the first time.
Oh, hubba, hubba.
She was at that convention. Let me tell you, that woman. But, you know, even then as a kid, and I never smoked. I always hated smoking. But I have to share with you, it upset me as a kid. I was 1959. Was I 15 maybe? And she's walking around holding a packet, you know, like the girls today are walking around with cell phones. Mm-hmm. In those days, all the beautiful women walked around with a pack of cigarettes. Mm. And but I'll never forget, she was so stunning. But the great DJs were there, and I don't remember if Bruce Morrow had made it yet.
He wasn't a
cousin Brucey.
No, yeah, he's not a jazz disc jockey. He wouldn't be there.
But
I mean,
wait a minute. That was more than just a jazz.
No, it was a jazz
convention.
Our friend Marion was there. Count Basie closed it. He went to like 4 or 5 in the morning playing. Now, this thing, and Ed and I talk about it, we have copies. Capitol came out with it on a record. Peggy Lee with George Shearing, who performed for the disc jockeys. Capitol comes out with it, and they tried to record it live, and it was not clear enough. They doctored it up. They added sound effects to be the audience. Mm-hmm. They did all kinds of things. That's the first copy I have. You're holding the stereo copy. Then they came out with it again, and they claimed, and they didn't have the whole performance. Finally, the people now who own Capitol, which is EMI, Ed, from overseas, Ed? EMC, EMI?
Capitol?
Yeah.
Yes,
and
yes,
they,
EMI.
They got a hold of it, and they realized that they recorded the whole show in a studio, and they never used it because they wanted to do this live performance. Mm. So now they put out the entire thing from the studio sessions, where it's clear as a bell, all the numbers, which is 14 numbers, Ed.
Wow. That's the definitive.
Right, and the album has a few. And there they have a man named Alberto Peraza, who was playing,
Armando Peraza,
yeah. Who died in April. I did a thing on him.
Oh.
He made his fame for 20 years being with Carlos Santana. But in his early years, he performed with jazz people. He never was trained. He lived on the streets, and he learned on the streets. And he was a very visual performer. And so, naturally, being with Peggy, most of these things are vocals. But they did a number called Mambo in Miami as an instrumental. And it has George on piano, Ray Alexander on vibes, Toots Thielemann is here on guitar.
Mm.
And Carl Pruitt bass, Ray Mosca drums, and Armando Peraza does two numbers. He does a vocal, I'll Always Be True to You in My Fashion, and Mambo in Miami.
So let's hear the mambo.
Okay.
Where the robin song and dream a dream of the happiness there where Robin's song greets a bright new morning. We can loaf along, blue skies up above.
We're on the air?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. You knew that right away, Charlie.
Yeah. It was Roberta Sherwin.
Roberta Sherwin.
Franklin's, right.
I figured if I bring
her. She was great. Really a great. Walter Winchell discovered her. And as soon as Winchell, of course, everybody knows his name, I'm sure. But came down to.
Well, those who listen to my show, but if they don't, I try to explain. He stayed at the Roney, and she was across the road.
Roney, right. And he.
Murray Franklin's.
He put her. He was the. The make a star guy in those years, and he made a star out of Roberta Sherwin for a couple of years. Remember, she had a kind of troubled life, though.
Remember why she was performing then?
No.
Well, she was a singer in the younger days. She retired, and her husband, Don Lanning.
Don Lanning, right.
And I know that because Don Lanning Jr. graduated my high school when I was a sophomore at North Miami High. And she had to go out and make a living. She went to support him.
Yeah.
And she goes to Murray Franklin. The way they describe it, it's a club with an air conditioning, dripping water, and she's standing under the air conditioning. Right. But she'd hold a cymbal, right?
Right.
A Sakniak the cymbal, she'd bang, right?
Right.
And she'd sing up a Lazy River.
Right.
And Decca signs her, and it becomes a hit. Hmm. I remember seeing on Ed Sullivan and all the big shows.
Right. Now, can I interject the history?
Please. Wait a minute. Okay. February 29, 1956 in New York, Jack Pleace, who was one of the studio orchestras for Decca. Yes, up a Lazy River.
The Murray Franklin that Ted is talking about and Charlie's talking about had a club on 23rd Street.
Right.
And then later, in later years, there was Franklin's 1217 Steakhouse on Normandy Isle, not related at all. But when Charlie says everybody will know it, and Charlie's right as far as the listenership of Ted and Ed, but it's just like teaching my students. They've heard about the Holocaust. And I'm talking about university level, and most of them have never heard of Pearl Harbor. And I have two guests that come every term. One of them is a World War II aviator. One is a Holocaust survivor. And they have to explain everything because the kids have never heard of, I say the kids, the young people. Mm-hmm. And that's how they learn. That's what it's all about. And that's why I love teaching 20th century world history at Barry, because we get into it.
What was the name of that club on 23rd? Do you remember?
Well, one was Murray Franklin's. Ah. There were a number of them. There was the Italian Village. The Great Hickory House was on Hickory Liberty House. Avenue.
I remember the Virginian.
The Virginian. The Park Avenue was on Park
Avenue. Park right. Avenue, Park, Embers.
I mean, Embers. Oh, my God. Embers, just wonderful play. And, of course, Wolfie's on 21st.
And Fan and Bill's and then Chandler's.
Right. And then there was Angie and Fred's. Where Mammy's had been and Pappy's
around
had been.
Around for the seagulls.
You're really
sure,
talking
sure.
history here. Yeah, sure.
I can't help myself.
That's why you
But they were great days, I have to tell you. I don't think anybody will ever, whoever lived through those years will ever forget them, because Miami Beach is nowhere like it today.
The whole beach was hopping back then.
Yeah, but
hopping,
the people who are growing up to the beach now, they'll tell you it's hopping. It's just different generations.
Right. Yeah. I've got to, you know, I've had respect for Charlie for many, and we met very briefly at the press club, but let me just say this to you. It's a different Miami Beach, but I've got to share with you fellas and Charlie, this, you know, Ben Grenald, the great Ben Grenald from Modern Drugs, and Ben said to me, Miami Beach today is not just our city, it's the world city. Mm-hmm. And really, Charlie, I know it's different. It's not the same Miami Beach that we remember. But let me tell you something. Our new mayor, Philip Levine,
he has
a vision for the city. And let me tell you, the city manager, Jimmy Morales. Mm-hmm. Jimmy was a county commissioner. Did you know Jimmy?
Miami
Beach. Jimmy graduated from both Harvard and Harvard Law. And he is fabulous. And let me tell you, what they're doing with this great city.
We're international.
Fabulous.
Yeah, but let's get into what are we doing about getting the traffic solved. I mean, you want to get political. This is
no, just if everybody stayed home Sundays and listened
to
my show.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm really passionate about it. Somebody's got to stop paying attention to traffic seriously. I mean, this is out of control.
I was a little boy. I can remember that talk going on.
Well, Charlie is 100%
this
right.
This whole mass transit.
And if you look at Charlotte, North Carolina, Salt Lake City, Utah, they're building rail, rapid transit, and light rail all over the
how
Denver,
many,
and
many,
we're doing nothing.
I'm not going to go into this, but one question. How many of those states have a state income tax?
I don't know, because there
look
are some
it.
That don't.
Look into it. Almost every state that's very forward has a state income tax. Hmm. Okay, enough.
May I?
Please.
I'm enthused with discovering the history about a group of performers I perhaps incorrectly call the Bawdy Ladies. Now, I mean...
No, this is this is 20... you can say sexy.
Back when the double entendre gals, right. Belle Barths, right. Patsy Abbotts, Ruth Wallaces, mm-hmm. and on and on.
Pearl Williams.
On my show, South Florida Arts Beat, we did two segments, and we caught up with one of the gals. They're all, for the most part, gone. And they recorded... prolifically, mm-hmm. and the thing back then, I think, throughout the 50s, was to buy these records, go home, and invite your friends over and have
right.
a party,
mm-hmm.
and
for
listen
sure.
to these Riot records. I became involved in the 60s in that same way. I would buy a comedy record by Bill Cosby or something like that, Lenny Bruce or something like that, and I'd invite friends over. We wouldn't sit around and drink and dance, but, you know... it continues. But these ladies were legion, and some of them were really talented.
They were.
And I've got a record here Patsy Abbott, Have I Had You Before? And it's here is a young white woman recording on essentially a label that recorded black blues men up in Chicago. This is Chess Records. So that in itself is a story.
David Chess?
But Patsy Abbott, Have I Had You Before? You turn it over, and the notes are written by a young Charles Cinnamon.
I wrote the line.
Uh-huh. And I got a copy of those notes for you, sir.
Oh, my God.
I got a copy of that.
Frame copy he just gave Charles. I hope you got paid more for the notes than what you're getting here tonight.
I got paid $25 a week when I handled Patsy's.
And she was one of your first clients?
She was my very first client.
Tell us about Patsy.
Patsy was a trip. She really had her own little club in the same district we were talking about now. Mm-hmm. And it was called Patsy's Place. And she did two shows a night. It was nonstop brilliant. And you remember them, Seth. I'm sure you remember those days.
I not only remember them, but Patsy's daughter, Carol.
Right.
I took her out at Beach High, and lovely. She was great. And I only met Patsy once. She was very gracious. And, I kind of felt like, you better watch out. You're going out with my daughter, kid.
Charlie, here you have the Footlighters Club, which is like the Friars up north. All the stars would come in and they'd toast them and roast them. But then the women broke off and they had their own club. And Patsy was, what was the name of that club? Do you remember? Patsy was very active in that.
Yes,
she wrote special material for them.
Oh,
and they would
That was Jerry Pollack and that whole group.
Yeah. And she would write special material and perform for the women in show business.
Every year they did these shows. My God.
But it was a women's club.
Now I'm losing it.
Because
I was very involved with
In good company. Shall we listen?
Yes.
Well, this is another one of that group, another great gal, talented gal. She wrote her own lyrics, her own music. Ruth Wallace. And a wonderful tune called The American Plan.
Okay. The Props.
The Props.
I just remembered.
What was her name, the blonde that was
Dallet.
Big in the Props?
I decided to go to Florida on my vacation. So I inquired about the rates and the transportation. When I checked about the hotels, I knew there were no ifs or buts. The European plan was not for me. The American plan was better, you see. It included everything from soup to nuts. They said there'd be plenty of fellas there. So I took my two minks, light and dark, my white fox, and my skin diving suit. I was prepared for any emergency, land or sea. So I went to Miami to have 2 weeks fun, to lay on the sand there with somebody's son. I didn't know when I decided to go, but the American plan does not include a man. I checked into the Fountain Rock. I thought I'd rock around the clock. They never dropped a hint, but it was there in small print. The American plan does not include a man. They gave me lunch and brunch and hors d'oeuvres without charge. I ate so much I had to get a massage. Barbecues and weenie roasts, but I never got what I wanted the most. The travel brochure said I would find romance if only I would take a chance. Well, I was ready, I always am, but the American plan does not include a man. I found lots of women in mink and fox, matzo balls and bagels and lox, diamonds so big they look like rocks. But no Jims or James or Jacks or Jocks. Every night I tossed, I didn't sleep a wink. The walls are thinner than you think. The girl next door was not alone. She must have brought her own from home. Played golf and tennis in my Bermuda shorts, but I still long for those indoor sports. I called for room service, I was in the mood, and the waiter told me this only meant food. The American plan does not include a man. The bellboys were all 6 feet tall, but they never extended themselves at all. The staff was supposed to do or die. For the price I was paying, they should at least try. But the American plan does not include a man. Oh, I'm leaving Miami by plane today. After all, how long can I stay? I ate the food, I got the tan, I danced the mambo to a Latin band, and I got a new excuse for not coming home with a man. It was not included in the American plan.
Look at you girls, I'm telling you now, they call me Love and Dan. I rock 'em, roll 'em all night long. I'm a 60-minute man. If you don't believe I'm all I say, come up and take my hand. When I let you go, you'll cry, oh yeah, he's the 60-minute man. There'll be 15 minutes of kissing, then you'll holler, please don't stop. There'll be 50 minutes of this and 50 minutes of that and 50 minutes of ah. If your man ain't treating you right, come up and see your Dan. I rock 'em, roll 'em all night long. I'm a 60-minute man, yeah. Come up and take my hand. When I let you go, you'll cry. Oh, yeah, he's a 60-minute man. There'll be 15 minutes of kissing, and then you'll holler, please don't stop. There'll be 50 minutes of this and 50 minutes of that and 50 minutes of, oh, oh. If your man ain't treating you right, come up and see your dad. I rock 'em, roll 'em all night long. I'm a 60-minute man. 60-minute man, yeah.
If you're having a hard time selling that old car or truck or just don't want the bother of selling it, the WLRN Vehicle Donation Program can help. Just call 877-WLRN-CAR, 877-957-6227, or donate online at WLRN.org. Donating is easy when the tow truck comes to your home and picks up the vehicle. They give you the paperwork that you'll need and relieve the stress of what to do with the old car that just won't sell. That's 877-WLRN-CAR or donate online at WLRN.org.
This is 91.3 WLRN and HD1, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and the Palm Beaches, and 91.5 WKWM and HD1, Marathon, Key West. Also online at WLRN.org.